the leader of Sinn Féin, the Republican Party, the party that represents the Republicans of Ireland, the people in Ireland who want a 32-county Ireland, who want an all-inclusive, wonderful republic. Well, I was quite surprised to hear on joe.ie, by the way, you can see the, hear the full audio, but I'm going to give you a little excerpt from the audio when she was interviewed by Alan Coyne on joe.ie, and have a quick listen to this.
My anthem is Aron Levine. My flag is the green, white and orange tricolour. But in the course of a debate that is inclusive, if you call for an inclusive debate, you have to allow for everything to be put on the table. So when we see everything can be put on the table, that's what needs to happen. It doesn't mean I do not favour re-entering the Commonwealth. I don't think there's anything in that for us. I think it's a bit of a nonsense suggestion. But if others believe that that's a course of action, well, let's hear it. If there's a view around any element of symbolism or celebration in a new Ireland, let's talk about that. And as regards unionist identity, I think we need to understand that the Good Friday Agreement on core issues around citizenship, core issues around parity of esteem, all of that work is done. You know, that's already hardwired into our system of governance. So we shouldn't create any sense of panic that we're starting from ground zero or that we're setting the clock back for our unionist citizens, our unionist brothers and sisters. That's not the case. Work has already been done. The challenge is, in a 32-county context, to build on that and to collectively decide what that looks like. And we're well capable of doing that. I actually think that has the makings of a very challenging conversation, but actually a very interesting, a very energising conversation as well.
Ooh, this is not the same Sinn Féin I remember from 20 years ago. Not that I was ever a fan of them in the first place. So, to quote her, my anthem is Aron Levine. My flag is the green, white and orange tricolour. But if you call for an inclusive debate, you have to allow for everything to be put on the table. That's according to Mary Lewin. She's talking to Ellen Coyne from joe.ie. She said she would discuss the changing of the flag for a united Ireland. She also doesn't believe Ireland joining the Commonwealth is a good suggestion, but is willing to look at it if others believe it might be. She says if there's any question over symbolism or celebrations, we should have an open discussion on it. Wow, it's a very different Sinn Féin, isn't it? She said the challenge is, in a 32-county context, to build on that and collectively decide what that looks like. You know, get together with the unionists. Have a little chat about it. You don't like our flag? Oh, no problem. We'll get rid of it for you, so. We don't like yours either. So let's have one that's inclusive between the two of us. What are they kind of suggesting? Maybe a green and white with a George's cross overlaid on top of it, or a Union Jack kind of, you know, watermark in the background or something. I don't know what they're kind of talking about here. Of course, she is referring to the fact that if the no-deal Brexit happens in 3 months' time, a referendum on a united Ireland may be a logical outcome in the near future. And I'll be honest and say I don't think that Britain actually wants Northern Ireland. I don't think they give a shit about it, personally. It's a thorn in their side. It could end up like the Isle of Wight floating off in the sea somewhere. I mean, they can't even form a government up there, for God's sake, in Northern Ireland, for six counties, with Sinn Féin and the DUP at loggerheads constantly for years now. And they have at least had two very different views on life and the future of Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland could end up, as I said, like the Isle of Wight and looking after itself when all this is over. But polls taken before Brexit suggested that the country was pretty much divided in two when it came to a United Ireland vote. But since Brexit, there seems to be a kind of lean or an appetite for a United Ireland for financial and trade reasons, because Britain doesn't really want it. Boris has said that he will do his best to avoid a border in Northern Ireland when it comes to a no-deal Brexit and Ireland, but that can't be guaranteed. So if a no-deal Brexit happens in 3 months, we could be looking at a doomsday scenario. Now, don't get me wrong. As much as I believe there could be a hard border in Northern Ireland, I wouldn't like to see it happen, because I can tell you now, the first chap that stands out there with a uniform and puts his hand up to stop a car in Uri, someone's going to throw a petrol bomb at him. I wouldn't like to be that guy. That would be the cause of civil war, in my opinion. And I would hate to see that happening. We've spent too long trying to fix this problem. I mean, Brexit will undoubtedly be harmful to Ireland, But a far greater injustice would be done if this republic was persuaded to accept Sinn Féin as its legitimate international representatives if they took a seat in Westminster. Honest, I'm surprised to hear the leader of Sinn Féin saying our flag and our anthem is on the table for discussion. I'm shocked to hear that from Sinn Féin. I never thought we'd hear those words coming from her mouth. Those words would have never came from the mouth of Martin McGuinness or Gerry Adams. Not that I was a fan of either one of them. Although I do like Gerry's beard. But those words would have never come from their mouths. Ever. Or any Republican that I've ever interviewed on the air. Those words have never come from their mouths. But maybe you think she's right. We need to move on. We need to bury the hatchet. We need to maybe change. This is not the Ireland that we all remember. This is a new Ireland, maybe a new United Ireland, 32 counties. And if that be the case, to pacify the loyalists, the unionists, then maybe we need to change the flag and change the anthem to be more inclusive and to include them, because of course they wouldn't accept the Irish anthem. They wouldn't accept the Irish flag. Because of course most of them fly the George's Cross or the Union Jack. All you got to do is drive up to Northern Ireland. Certain parts of Northern Ireland, every flag, every pole you'll see will have a George's Cross or a Union Jack on it. Other parts of Northern Ireland will have the tricolour. So she believes we have to come together, put them on the table and discuss what we're going to do. She said, we are willing to put them on the table. Is she right? Would you sacrifice the Irish flag, the Irish national anthem? Would you sacrifice it? Huh? For a united Ireland. That's a shit version of the national anthem. I don't know who gave me that one. Sorry, that was my own fault. That's not the Irish national anthem at all. Should have had a proper Irish national anthem there. I'm actually quite ashamed of that piece of music, whatever the hell that was. I think it was somebody on a guitar trying to play it. Probably. Anyway. Would you sacrifice the flag, an anthem, for something more inclusive for the unionists? All right, let me know. Would you sacrifice it? It's hard to get the Irish national anthem now. You can text us at 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Let me know. Would you sacrifice it? Now, let me go to John. John, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, John?
How are you doing?
Good. John, I don't know if you're shocked. I'm shocked. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a fan of Sinn Féin. Never was. But I'm shocked to hear Mary Lou say that.
I can't believe it, because this is coming from a party now, right? Lost 74 seats during the local elections, right? Nationally. And I think, like, what she has just done out tonight, now she can kiss goodbye, now to a good few seats, as if the general election comes within the next couple of months or possibly into next year. Because any Republican out there, or anyone that have any leading towards Sinn Féin, when they hear this kind of rhetoric, I mean, this is insane. Like, from a leader of, as you said previously, Matt McGuinness, like, and Gerry Adams would have never went down this road. Like, I mean, this is political suicide for her, like. Political suicide. Her days are numbered now, actually, I think, within Sinn Féin, like, for what she
it looks like she would like to take a seat at Westminster. And she's quite entitled to take the seat, by the way, but she'll only seem to take it on her terms. But she would like to take a seat at Westminster and be, I suppose, the logical representative of Ireland in Britain.
Well, you see, the thing is, look, I mean, they want to be very careful, because, look, Barat Canoa and Coveney, like, have made soundings now lately again about Northern Ireland, like, and Barat has been criticised, and rightly so, because it's the wrong thing to be moving off now about your United Ireland and all this kind of stuff.
Well, it's not really, because it's a logical conversation, John, because if we have a no-deal Brexit in 3 months' time, you know, the United Ireland is certainly the next conversation we have to have.
Well, not necessarily, because, look, I firmly believe that Boris, like, is, because, look, Theresa May was a weak Prime Minister, and, like, he's going around against Europe, and he's saying, look, if I don't get a new deal negotiated...
He has said today that he is pretty sure there will be no deal. He said that today.
That there'll be no deal?
No deal.
Yeah, well, this is it.
He said it's looking very likely there'll be no deal.
And you know what he's going to do then as well now? Like, I mean, they reckon, like, the payoff, like, I mean, that they would have to get out of Europe, I think, is 40 billion. He won't pay us into that, because he won't have to. Right?
Well, he could save himself 16 billion a year by dumping Northern Ireland.
Well, that's true. But the thing is, like, I mean, as long as there's people up, they want to remain part of the United Kingdom, like, and would again take up arms even against their own government.
But you want a united Ireland, don't you, John? You're a Republican.
Yeah, it would be great to see
you. Okay, well, I mean, then are you willing to sacrifice your flag and your anthem for it?
Because it's not going to happen. It's not whether I want
to. No, I'm asking you a question. Are you willing to sacrifice your flag and anthem for a united Ireland?
No, I'm not. I mean, the tricolour.
Well, what you want is the people of Northern Ireland to consider themselves British, or loyalists, or unionists, whatever they consider themselves. You want them to sacrifice their flag.
No, they can keep their Union Jack, whatever, and the Republicans can, north of the border, can fly their tricolours in national areas.
But it won't be north of the border if there's a united Ireland. There'll be no such thing as north of the border.
But it won't be united. That's not going to happen. Like, I mean, the six countries will still stay apart. It'll still stay apart of the United Kingdom, because look, the unionists are not going to be allowed. That's not going to happen. And
they may not have a choice in the matter.
A lot of the nationalists, I mean, don't want to join up with the Republic either. Let's be honest there. They don't.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. From a financial and logistical point of view, I think, you know, there's a lot to think about in the United Ireland, apart from just 32 counties and we all celebrate. You've got a lot to think about. You've got, you know, GP care, the cost of the NHS. Yeah. You've got a cost of disability allowance is the highest in Europe in Northern Ireland. Disability payments, social welfare payments, massive unemployment. Well, you've got a huge problem up there. You've got 16 billion being subsidised into that country.
We'll say they throw a lot in, so we get united Ireland, and are the people of the public down here going to pay higher taxes? The services of the homeless service at the moment, the way our health sector is under threat and underfunded, whatever, are we going to pay even more penalty by having longer waiting this like, I mean, less houses, if we're going to have to come up with another 16 or 17 billion to take on the million from the north?
So it sounds like you like the idea, you just don't want to pay for it.
But the people won't pay for it down here, because if you ask people down here, if you'd done the referendum in the morning, would you pay higher taxes? And we say, would you sacrifice some of the services for United Ireland? I guarantee you, there'd be a...
Okay, so if I ask the question, are you willing to pay an extra 30 quid a week in tax for United Ireland, or 20 quid a week in tax?
They won't go for it.
No, they wouldn't. You're right. Well, stay there for a second, because Padraig, you're on Classic Hits. Then we may have the anthem right this time. Padraig. There it is, Padraig. Stand and salute. Here we go. Da, 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 da. Padraig, are you willing to sacrifice it?
Sacrifice it? That was a famous song by Elton John, wasn't it? Sacrifice.
Sacrifice, that's right.
Correct. Well, it's nice to hear John O'Dea, their fellow patriot, giving his contribution as usual. Mm-hmm. And
thanks, Padraig.
At the end of, no problem, John. Look, at the end of the day here, Niall, we have a situation, no time for Sinn Féin anymore, being an ex-member. I think they've turned into left-wing traitors.
Are you surprised to hear Sinn Féin now saying that the anthem and the tricolour could be put on the table, everything could be put on the table?
You see, this is really... It really is incredible. Like I said at a previous juncture, Niall, do you want to be free from the British shackles, but prepare to be run by Brussels instead? I mean, are these people imbeciles? I mean, we're not going to be a sovereign country whilst we remain a member of this corrupt rich man's club, namely the EU, who actually are so corrupt they make the Russian mafia look like choir boys, Niall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, getting back to Sinn Féin, like I said, these are red herrings and semantics as regards... Reminds me a bit of Ireland's call in the rugby. We know that was to appease our northern brethren, the unionist brethren that play rugby, you know? But look, at the end of the day, like I say, I've no time for Mary Lou, I've no time for Sinn Féin. I think the left-wing traitors, like I said, we're going to be the indigenous people a minority by 2050, and these people have the audacity to call themselves patriots.
Well, that's what they claim, but they claim they're being inclusive. And by the way, Tom mentions as well, a correction, Niall, unionists do not fly the George's Cross, as it's the English flag. I have seen George's Cross up there in Northern Ireland, but anyway, you're confusing the flag. Well, I wasn't confusing it with the Red Hand of Ulster flag. I have seen that one too, Tom, and as well as the Union Jack. I've seen all three flags up there flying.
Niall.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd see the day, as myself from Irish Republican lineage, that I would have more in common with the DUP than the so-called Boris Johnson and Nigel Farage. I'll give you an instance, Niall. A couple of years ago, a friend of mine who was higher up the food chain than I was, he actually, as an Irish, also Irish Republican lineage, actually in the Brexit referendum of 2016, he went to the north of England and canvassed with Nigel Farage. Now, the English, think about this, an ex-IRA man goes to Britain because he sees the bigger picture of what's happening, the demographics in Europe. Like the Irish-English thing is all had to a certain extent. So like I said, the bigger picture is what's happening here. We're a minority, not just us, by the way, the French and British. I could go on, the Scandinavians. Our culture has been destroyed. And then I asked them, by Barrett, in making us, because of these cheerleaders for open borders, they really are, they should, I'll be honest with you, I would take these people out.
Okay, I know where you're going with that, all right. But we're not sort of encouraging any kind of violence, and I certainly wouldn't be encouraging any sort of violence towards anybody in the show. But okay, you don't agree with them, and I understand you don't agree with them. But what Mary Lou is trying to say is, going forward, Padraig, right, to be inclusive, and if we're to get to any kind of agreement at all, everything has to be up for discussion. That's more or less what she's saying, including, although she doesn't agree with it, joining the Commonwealth.
Look, do you know something? These people are not only economically bankrupt, they are, all the growth, let's take the, let's forget about the sovereignty argument for one second, Ireland and immigration, right? That was mainly why the people right across from the Midlands up the north of England and Wales, it wasn't just about the economics for these people. These people are already poor now. So whether they were going to be 20 quid a week more poor, it didn't really matter because they were...
But are you willing, as John rightly said, you know, because if we genuinely were to consider a United Ireland, it would be expensive. We would have to probably pay more taxes. Are you willing to pay an extra 20 or 30 quid in your taxes for a United Ireland?
Look, I would be, but it depends on which circumstances. Like I said, I never thought I'd see the day when I had more come out to DUP as regards what's happening in Europe than these traitors, I call them now, in Sinn Féin.
Okay, well, hang on for a second, because I want to go to Luke as well. Luke doesn't believe they're traitors. He believes they're trying to compromise. Sorry, Luke, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Luke?
Hi, not too bad.
Good,
yeah,
Luke.
No,
what do you want to say?
I would agree with Mary Lou and Donald there, actually. I'm not a member of Sinn Féin, but I used to be a member of Fianna Fáil. So I think really we do need to compromise if we're ever to get a United Ireland.
But you never thought you'd hear Sinn Féin say they compromised the Irish flag and the anthem. I never thought I'd hear those words coming out of her mouth.
No, neither did I. I'm very surprised, but I agree with her.
That's because you're probably on the left, are you?
No, I consider myself on the right, actually.
Right, okay. Well, that surprises me then. Because then Padraig is going to now accuse you of being a traitor. I imagine.
I'm not a traitor at all. I consider myself a Republican. I'm a Republican, you know.
Well, if you're a Republican, why would you be so keen to... Well, not keen to get rid of the flag. Why would you even compromise the flag if you're a Republican?
Why? Because we have to compromise our fellow brothers and sisters up north. Our unionist brothers and sisters, you know.
Our unionist brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And you're a Republican.
I'm a Republican, yeah.
Padraig, well, there you go. You might have to compromise with his unionist.
We're not going to get anywhere if we don't compromise.
Okay, no, I get your point. Padraig, are you still there?
Here, Niall, yeah.
Yeah. And John, there you go. Luke, a young man by the sounds of things, says you can't be burying your head in the sand, basically. You got to compromise, you know, with our unionist brothers and sisters if we're to get anywhere.
What are you going to do now if the unionists still want to remain part of Great Britain, like them in? And, I mean, you can't force them into United Ireland.
Well, that's, John, that's neither here nor there. If there's a referendum and they vote to be part of the Republic of Ireland, well, then, you know, that's what we have to do.
I don't think they would be. Look, there's a tough scenario, which nobody ever brings up, right? And here's the tough scenario, right? If they can't stay part of Britain, if they don't want to go into the United Ireland,
they can be an independent country themselves.
Yes, they can, but to do that, you see,
I'm not going to put them there.
To do that, you have to have a new name. You have to launch a new currency, right, which will start on the floor, and it will take how long before it will work its way up along the scale?
Yeah, but they could be like the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
Sorry, Luke, you want to say something there.
How are we going to appeal to unionists of North? I mean, how are we going to get a United Ireland? We're not going to compromise in certain respects, you know. How are we going to get them on board?
Well, it's a fair point, Padraig. If you're ever to get a United Ireland, how are you going to get the unionists on board when you're not willing to compromise? They're never going to accept a union or the tricolour or the Irish National Anthem, for that matter.
Well, Niall, as like I said, life is about compromise now. But at the end of the day, there is a lot of Catholics in Northern Ireland who are happy with the status quo, that there could be as high as 10% actually, that do not want, because I've heard this argument for years, obviously the Catholics are having more babies than the unionists, and eventually they'll be, now there's parity more or less, and being the majority. But if you have 10, 15%, 20% of nationalists that want to stay in the union, it's forget about birth rate. It's going to take another 3-4 generations, maybe, you know. As regards the economic argument, Niall, I think all the growth, by the way, is outside. It's in China. It's in America. It's in Africa.
But I don't know whether the growth is actually in America, particularly they just reduced their interest rates. But whatever.
Hold on now. The German GDP. At the moment is now almost 0%. There's an awful, I won't even talk about the Italian banking crisis. There's a lot of countries in the EU. Now, if the EU is such a panacea, Niall, why did you have the Yellow Vest movement there a few months back in France, the second most powerful country in the EU? Poor people, like this argument before, Niall, burning down the town. They can't pay their bills. Because if you're on 20 grand a year, Niall, whether you're in the EU or out of it, you're still poor. It doesn't make any difference. The only people that benefit from the EU, Niall, are, like, I tell you who, the likes of, what do you call that, Tory MP, Michael Heseltine.
Mm.
He's, do you know why he's so pro EU?
Because he's making a good salary of it.
No, as well as that, scratch the surface. He gets 100,000 pound per annum grant from the EU because he's got a big state farm in the UK. So let's get right. Most of these people have skin in the game. There's vested interest. Like I said,
We're gone off the subject. I don't want to have a discussion on the EU and Brexit and everything else that goes along with it at the moment. There's going to be another 3 months of that and we're all going to be sick of it. But let's focus on what Mary Lou said. And Luke, you know, as much as I understand what you're saying, and I agree, even though I'm not a liberal myself or I'm not a lefty, but I do agree with what you're saying. In some sense, there has to be a compromise. I'm just shocked to hear that compromise coming from Sinn Féin.
I'm not a sinner. I used to be a member of Fianna Fáil. I left.
Well, yeah, okay, but I know you're not a sinner. But I mean, I think you, as anybody else, must be surprised by it, because I thought they would die with the flag wrapped around them.
I am surprised. I'm very surprised by your comments. Well, they're welcome all the same, you know.
But they are welcome, you believe?
They're welcome. Yeah, they're very welcome.
All right, let me take a break. You can keep texting. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Mary Lou MacDonald has said, my anthem is Éireann na mBian. My flag is the green, white and orange tricolour. But if you call for an inclusive debate, obviously in relation to United Ireland, we have to allow for everything to be put on the table. She also doesn't believe that joining the Commonwealth is a good suggestion, but is willing to look at it if others believe it's a good suggestion. In other words, everything is on the table. Did you ever think you'd hear Mary Lou or Sinn Féin saying anything like that in your life? Well, they've just said it. Let me see. Luke is like a Catholic who votes for abortion and same-sex marriage, says Kevin in Limerick.
No, I'm actually pro-life, so but I support same-sex marriage as well.
All right, okay. I think he's talking about hypocrisy. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not hypocrisy.
Okay, yeah, all right. Sean also says, so here's Dimwit Padraig slagging the immigrants again. Big surprise, as predictable as a priest you-know-whatting a boy. Oh, okay. Not every priest, Sean. I think that's probably, to be honest, which I think you ruined your whole statement by throwing that bit in at the end. Malachy Steenson. Malachy, good evening to you.
Well, good evening, Niall. I wouldn't say angry is the right word, but, you know.
Confused?
I did ring in from my holidays.
Yeah.
No, not remotely confused, I have to say. I predicted all of these things.
Honestly, Malachy, are you surprised to hear Mary Lou saying that the anthem and the flag is on the table, essentially?
Not in the slightest. No more than I was surprised when she said a number of weeks ago that we should discuss going back into the Commonwealth.
She said that again tonight. She said she didn't believe personally it was a good idea, but if others believe it is, it might be worth looking at.
Well, let's look at the factual situation in relation to the individual you've identified there. She's somebody who was in Fianna Fáil when she was in Trinity, who saw a better career option by joining the Provisional Party, which was on the rise, which is now under her leadership, seeing the biggest decrease in support than it had at any the hunger strike. Now, Mary Lou MacDonald is not an Irish Republican.
Let's be clear, she claims to be, obviously.
Well, so does Micheál Martin. And indeed, only last week, so did Leo Varadkar. And if people believe that, that parties who have been since 1922 who have executed people for saying that Ireland should have the right to sovereignty, that Ireland should have the right to self-determination, who have executed people, both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, in the 20s, 30s and 40s, interned people in the 50s, and now there are people in jail in McGabbery and in Portlaoise for saying that Ireland should be an independent sovereign nation.
But Malachy, people are going to say, oh, but you look, Malachy's living in the past. He, you know, he's a Republican. He was certainly a Republican activist many, many years ago. You're living in the past, Malachy. This is all about inclusivity, and that's what she's talking about. And she believes that if we have to, you know, compromise somewhat to get what we want, well, isn't this the best way to do it?
Well, that's fair enough. But don't be calling yourself a Republican while you're doing it. Let's say you're now a constitutional nationalist. Let's now say you believe that Britain should have a role in the affairs of Ireland, and particularly in the north of Ireland. Let's say that you're prepared to administer British rule in Ireland until the British government, and they talk about a border poll. A border poll, and people should read the GFA. A border poll can only come around once, and I don't believe in a border poll, because I think the people of Ireland made a decision in 1918 and decided that Ireland was a republic and ratified what people in 1916 had done. And people would need to learn history. And remember that a tricolour came into this country and was brought in by John Francis Marr, who adopted the French Revolution flag and who brought a very inclusive flag and flew it first in Waterford and said that the Irish was for unionism, the Green for nationalism, on a white background of peace. Now, what can be more inclusive than that? Unless
that's your view of it. I'm not disagreeing with the history of the flag, but you know as well as I do the unionists and the loyalists of the North would never accept the union or the tricolour as their national flag. No more than we would accept the Union Jack. So what I'm saying I suppose theoretically, get rid of both flags, have a new flag for a 32 county republic.
Well, hold on. That is the flag of the 32 county republic, and what MacDonald would want to replace it with, and the new.
She hasn't said she wants to replace it with anything.
Well, I tell you,
she said it's on the table.
What she wants to replace it with, it probably is the rainbow flag, because that's the trajectory that she's on. Right now, the Union flag, right, is the flag of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Right, the North has its own flag. Scotland has its flag, Wales has its flag, and England has its flag, and those are all encompassed within the Union flag.
And,
right?
If you drive up to Northern Ireland, you will see all of those flags.
Well,
every last one of them.
The state of Northern Ireland. If I drive over the border, as you do regularly and as I do regularly, I enter the north of Ireland, the northeast part of this island.
I've seen everything from the Red Hand of Ulster to the George's Cross to the Union Jack hanging from poles and the tricolour.
And you've probably seen, and in fact, in many loyalist areas, you've seen the flag of Israel for some strange reason.
I don't know what that's about.
And in nationalist areas, you will see the Palestinian flag. But this nonsense that prevails, these are side issues in relation to where we are.
Well, they're not really side issues because they're quite symbolic. I mean, the Irish flag and the Irish national anthem, and I'm not a Republican, but they are quite symbolic of what Ireland is. And if we start to lose them, I think Padraig's view is we're losing our identity.
Well, and that is true. And what I have said consistently, and this talk of that we're currently getting because of Brexit, and because if the North leaves the European Union, the Unionists will suddenly want to join with this kip of a country that we have, who can't even, for instance, build a hospital without a cost of billions, can't even ensure that when it rains, the sewerage in Ringsend doesn't end up in the Liffey. You know, we live in a country which is totally dysfunctional, and we're saying to people in another part of the island, come down and join this kip, where you'll wait for months for to get medical care, you'll pay for it through the nose, you know, why would you pay it through the nose for housing, you won't get state housing, why would anybody in the north, for instance,
hold on, they have the same problems in the north as well. I mean, housing is a problem in the north. When I say homelessness or temporary accommodation is a problem. They've also got a problem in the north, as you know, because they don't even have a government. Councils are not operating properly. Grass is not being cut. Areas are not being cleaned up.
And why do we not have a government in the north?
The provisions, hold on. You've got two of them, just can't agree with each other.
No, that's not... I mean, the provisions brought down the Assembly because... Firstly, because of the meeting in the Felons Club, where they saw that the people on the ground were now shifting and saying, look, you're in there for 10 or 15 years and nothing has changed. Get out. So they were reacting to that. They used the boiler thing, which they were, their members were making as much money out of as members of the DUP and every other party. And now they tell us that they won't come back into Stormont because the DUP won't legislate for gay marriage and abortion. You know, I don't know anybody, and I said this to you before, who would have got out of their beds in the 70s and 80s and not alone risked their own life, but somebody else's life for those two issues. I certainly would have never got out of my bed if I thought that in 2019, 40 years, 50 years into the struggle, and I'm 56 and I'm at this all my life, that I would have never got out of my bed if I thought it was about those two issues.
Okay, well, stay there a second, Maliki. Loads of people are texting in. Somebody says the North is soon to be a thing of the past. Unification is inevitable. It's what Boris really means about removing the backstops, says Monty in Cork. Another person says a lot of yesteryear people on your show tonight, Niall. Yeah, what, like older people? What, Maliki's 56, I'm 55. The current generation will define what republicanism means for them, not people from the past. Their day is over, says Lara in Dublin. Padraig, your day is over.
But before I go on to Mary Lynn McDonald again.
Okay, do you want to just respond to what Lara just said? That yesteryear people on the air, old boys like yourself who won't move on.
Look, tell that clown to come on and engage with me in a debate instead of sending in these cowardly texts. By the way, I want to write a reply here. That clown that called me a dimmit, was that the charlatan, the degenerate?
It was Sean, yes, it was. Right, he's called you names now, you've called him names, now we're done, right? I don't want to get into it. Every time the two of you get involved in a barney, we spend 15 minutes of the two of you arguing. I'm not doing it again tonight. Stick to the topic, Padraig.
You know something?
Padraig, stick to the topic. Get back to what we're talking about. I don't want you to give him a reason to come on, all right? Okay, so, Padraig, you're desperate to do this. Stick to the topic. Forget about the text. You've said it.
She was talking about.
Right.
This woman wants to be run by Brussels. How can she call herself an Irish Republican? It's ludicrous. This woman, she wants to be free from the shackles of the British, but she wants to be run by Brussels. She has the audacity to call herself a Republican.
All right, well, okay, let me go to Andrew. Andrew, you're a classic kid. How you doing, Andrew?
Oh, yeah, I just listened there. It's hectic there. Look, I'll just throw my two cents in. I've been, whatever you want to call it, Republican. I've always wanted to see my country to be united. What I said in the text is, they do not know what the sentiment means, as Parag, I think, is his name, said. Was the nationalist for the green, the unionist for the orange, and the peace between...
Maliki said that, yeah.
Yeah, do they not know the sentiment? Like, why give up that sentiment is all I'm saying. But if it means United Ireland, if it means this country can finally fucking get on and move on to fuck and just...
Watch the language a little bit there, Andrew, if you can.
Sorry. And just move on. I would be willing to change it.
So you're willing to compromise to move on?
But if it means putting a Union Jack in the corner, like where it might end up, I would say no.
No. I don't think anybody's suggesting a Union Jack.
Like Australia and things like that.
No, nobody is suggesting a Union Jack, Andrew. I think what's being suggested is, you know, maybe a whole new flag.
Yeah, well, look, as much as it, because of the sentiment that's in this, because how better can you get only the peace between us, supposedly?
Sorry, Maliki. Well, there you go. Andrew is willing, as a Republican, he's willing, you know, because he wants a 32-county Ireland, he's willing to compromise.
Well, let's just go back to what one of your other texters said about redefining republicanism and that the next generation would redefine it. Republicanism doesn't need to be redefined. The problem is that people have continually redefined it in terms of now republicanism is seen as implementing British rule in Ireland through Stormont. Republicanism is very clear in its beliefs and people need to go back to what the basic republican tenets are from the 16 Proclamation and the Democratic Programme for Government in 1918. That is Republican philosophy, and that cannot change. Now, the flag was brought into this state country by Francis Marr. it was established as the flag of the Republic.
Mm.
And you see, people are getting confused. People think the United Ireland is simply latching on the North onto this state. What Republicans want is the re-establishment of the Irish Republic, as proclaimed in arms in 1916 and as ratified by the people in 1918, and which was defeated in 1922 and saw setback after setback ever since. And what we need is the re-establishment of that republic, and that will bring about all of the changes, and that will solve all of the problems that are endemic in this society, because this country was built on fraud, and it was built on the defeat of the republic, not the establishment of it. And people need to actually go back in their history and understand all of that.
I agree with everything you said there. Yeah. Just to say, I agree with everything that man just said, yeah.
And because the British state used the North to hold its military power in Ireland and hold part of this island and establish a base, that can't be ratified now by simply saying, oh, well, you know, because of Brexit. And if people think that Brexit is going to lead to any kind of a resolution of these issues, they're living in cloud cuckoo land.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me just go to Dermot as well. Dermot, you're on Classic.
Before I go,
Just
one more point before I go, because I am on holidays.
I know, yeah.
Speaking to you from the other Celtic part of the world in Britain.
Yeah, Kevin Limerick, by the way, he says the mind boggles as to why an educated man like Malachy would disturb his holidays. But go on, yeah. Go on.
Yeah, well, I wonder that myself at times. But people who campaigned in every referendum about the expansion of European powers from Amsterdam, Maastricht, Lisbon 1 and 2, those campaigns were by and large not led by the Provisional Movement, but included the Provisional Party as a key part. And now suddenly, because it suits them and it suits the funding that they're getting into the North through all these dubious schemes, and which they want to hold on to, they're now the biggest supporters of the European Union ever. Remember, Sinn Féin in the 1970s campaigned no EEC. And
now all of a sudden they're siding with Europe. Mind you, Malachy, it's not unusual for any political party, and majority of them have flip-flopped on a regular basis, including our own politicians and our own Leo Varadkar.
Yes, and the reality is that politicians, once they see the taste of power, turn their back on everything that they walked on to get them.
Yeah, but I mean, you can say the same with Fianna Fáil. Fianna Fáil used to be a very conservative party and would have never, for example, voted or told people to vote yes for abortion. But, of course, Micheál Martin did. Leo Varadkar is also a man who said that he would never agree with abortion in Ireland, and he did. People that change their views according to what they believe the atmosphere in the country is, because that's what they're supposed to be, public representatives, isn't it?
No, that's populism. That's not actually having a view or a political principle. That's saying, I will go along with what I think will get me more power. And remember,
well, no, not necessarily. Sometimes I would agree with you, Malachy, but I do believe that it is a politician's job to represent the people. And if he believes the people have an appetite for a certain thing, well, then sometimes a politician will run with that.
If a politician stands in an election, for instance, that wimp that's in the Department of Health that's destroying the health of women up and down this country, stands in an election and says that, for instance, and he wrote to the pro-life community and he said, I will stand against abortion and I will be totally opposed to it. Then when he saw he was going to get a job out of it as Minister for Health if he supported abortion, he became a hypocrite. This is not about people changing their politics. It's people having no politics and just aspiring to power. And remember, the Provisional Army involved themselves in a war for 40 years where 3,500 people died on all sides to end British rule in Ireland. And now we have them implementing it. Isn't there a bit of hypocrisy there?
Okay, thanks, Malachy. Let me go to Dermot. Dermot, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Dermot?
Good evening, man. How are you? Long time no talk.
It's been a while, Dermot. Dermot, I mean, okay, so, you know, she's not suggesting to change the flag, but what she's saying is it's on the table. In other words, you know, if it comes to a compromise, say, I imagine a neutral flag, that for 32 County Ireland, you know, she's willing to discuss the matter.
She's a mouthpiece for Sinn Féin at the moment, right?
She's the leader of Sinn Féin,
But the bottom line is, this is not about politicians. Politicians will have no say in this at the end of the day. What's simmering under the surface is the dissident IRA, and there are plenty of them in the North who are itching to go back to war. And in all honesty, can you see the Protestants of the North? Can you honestly see the Protestants of the North deciding, that's grand, we'll all unite together, and Dublin will be the capital.
No, not at all. But if there's a referendum, they will have no choice. They'll have to accept it. You know, if there's a referendum and it's voted for, I'm talking about.
Yeah, and if it's voted for, and then what? I mean, the point is...
There'll be civil war.
There'll be civil war. If the British decide enough is enough, and it's coming, it's simmering, it's coming to a head now under Johnson and his rule. This is the most contentious.
But it's coming to a head because of Brexit, the logical conclusion of Brexit.
But it is the most. Boris Johnson and his Conservative Party, whether or not they stay in power for a long time,
of course they will.
Is the most contentious, the most dangerous. Political party ever in my memory.
Why do you think that? Because he says that he's going to run with the will of the people.
Because Johnson and his cohorts have absolutely no interest in this country, north or south.
No, they don't. But with the greatest respect, they do, this country is not their priority. The priority is Great Britain.
And
why should they have a massive interest in it? I mean, don't get me wrong, we are their next door neighbours.
And if tomorrow morning Boris Johnson turned around and says, you know what we're doing, we are pulling lock, stock and barrel and two smoker barrels out of the north, and that's the end of it, it's no longer a territory.
I think that would suit them, to be honest with you.
It absolutely would suit them. And if he did that, one, straight away there would be civil war in Ireland. And 100% civil war in Ireland, and that would be it.
I'm not trying to scaremonger, but I believe it's extremely worrying times.
It is, of course, extremely worrying times. Because they are an extremely dangerous bunch of people in the north.
Hang on. You can't blame the people in the north. You can't blame Boris Johnson. What you can blame is Brexit. And you know, and I'm not suggesting the people who voted for Brexit were wrong either. But they didn't want to be part of the EU. We're still part of the EU. We're still under control of the EU. They leave the EU. We need a border. That's the way it works. Failing having a border, we have to come to some other arrangement, i.e. we're a 32-county Ireland, or Northern Ireland becomes a separate state like the Isle of Wight. So, I mean, there's only two options.
Well, the only other option is that Northern Ireland becomes like Scotland, or possibly like...
The suggestion before, we put a border down the centre of the Irish Sea. But they're never, and they wouldn't, and they won't. The DUP will never agree to that in Northern Ireland, because then they believe they're being treated differently.
There is such a thing as having no solution. Because there is no solution. Because you cannot please everybody.
No.
Because if Mary Lou MacDonald says, we might even join the Commonwealth if we don't, because...
I certainly hope that that doesn't happen to anybody.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
And that's not the suggestion, but I certainly wouldn't hope that wouldn't happen to anybody.
Hold on a minute.
I understand that you're saying to me, what you're saying to me is that between Brexit, the possibility of a border, I don't know if that's going to happen. Boris said he would try and avoid it, but he doesn't guarantee it. That we could end up in a civil war situation. I understand that.
We most certainly could, and we most certainly will. And then it'll be down to Europe. And possibly the United States to come in and sort it. Because, to be fair, I don't think in the 21st century that America, who absolutely for decades ignored the North, it really was only when Clinton came into power that the North sort of came onto the radar, and Clinton did whatever he did. Prior to Clinton, Bush, prior to Clinton, no American president gave a shit about Reagan or that, gave a shit about the North, whatever, and... But I don't think civil war would be allowed to go on in this country, because the Americans would come in and Europe would have to get involved in this. Because Europe have...
Well, it is, because we're part of Europe then. If civil war did happen, we are part of Europe. Okay, Britain wouldn't be helpless then, because they'd be out of the EU. But stay there for a second, actually, because I'm running out of time with this, actually, Chairman. I just want to get to Sean and Patrick very quickly. Because this situation that happens on an ongoing basis on this show is actually becoming quite tiresome and irritating. So, Sean, you've got 10 seconds. He called you a charlatan. Mind you, you did call him a dimwit. So, you know what I mean? You did kind of have your right to reply. You started it.
Well, actually, I wanted to stick to the subject. I was just going to say I actually pretty much agree with everything Dermot was saying there. He was talking. Good talk to you. Good to hear you, Dermot. Good to hear you. I just getting back to the topic, I don't even want to... Whatever, Padraig, if you
want to
insult...
No, I don't want an insulting match between the two of you. There's absolutely no point in it, to be honest with you. It's a pointless exercise. You called him a dimwit, he called you a charlatan, game over as far as I'm concerned.
Right, it doesn't improve the quality of his argument.
No, it doesn't improve the quality of the show either when it happens every single time.
Exactly, so I have no problem with that. Okay, anyway, so yeah, as far as the subject, you're actually trying to have a discussion about... Yeah, I agree. You know, Dermot's analysis to me seems pretty accurate. Again, this is why the whole thing with the Brexit was such a stupid, careless decision on the part of the British electorate in the first place, because there really is no solution to this. The customs border in the Irish Sea, the hard border, the unionists in the north, you've got the Republicans in the north, nobody's going to be happy. The only way that the peace is going to be maintained is if Britain doesn't leave the EU.
That's not going to happen.
Well, then I guess there's going to be war on this island then in a few months, apparently.
Because Britain is, according to Boris Johnson, he only said today, he more or less believes that it's a done deal. I'm paraphrasing at this stage, that they will be leaving with no deal. He doesn't believe that a deal is possible.
That's such an incredibly irresponsible attitude to have. And again, you have to understand
he's the Prime Minister of Britain. The will of the people is a Brexit.
No, Niall. Now he's the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. There's four kingdoms that he's.
Well, it's Great Britain. It's all encompassing, isn't it?
Great Britain technically is England, yeah. Wales, and Scotland, and you know. But anyway, yes, it would be like as if the U.S. president, you know, just said, "Oh well, Florida or Mississippi, it's not really, you know, part of the union anymore. I don't really care about them." I mean, this is...
No, there was a suggestion. Ironically enough, there was a suggestion for California to have its own referendum as they went to whether they wanted to be part of the United States.
Yeah, that wasn't going to go anywhere. Although it is the fifth largest economy in the world, so it would, you know, for as much as Republicans like to paint the Democrats as, you know, greedy welfare leeches, California is a solid blue state, actually gives out a lot more in taxes than it gives in. Unlike a place like...
Okay, but just in relation to the flag, mm-hmm. although I know you wouldn't consider yourself...
It's just
Sean, you're not a patriot, are you? You're American.
No, I'm a realist, and I'm somebody who likes, like I said, talked to you a few days ago, I like living in a rich, stable, peaceful country. I don't want to...
Yeah, but there are many people who live in this rich, stable country. Well, some people argue that it's rich and stable, but many people live in this country who are quite proud of their national anthem and their flag, and they're not willing to let it go.
And if they're forced to choose between that and peace, well, then I...
I would agree with you, but if you look back at 30 years of troubles where there was bombs and people shooting each other, most of those men and women weren't willing to give up the flag and risk their lives.
Yeah, I know. And again, usually humans progress. Usually we're less stupid than our forefathers. That's the general trend over time. It'd be depressing to see it going backwards this time. Would really be depressing and unnecessary.
All right, listen, thank you very much indeed, Sean. All right, there's no point in me even get back into the argument with him and Padraig. Padraig, I think, is probably cringing there because he wants to say something to him. Just call him names.